Good morning.
Yes.
Well, we had a really interesting gospel reading, didn't we, there? And you could say that the middle section of it was a fairly gruesome passage, wasn't it? Something that would perhaps not be out of place in a Hollywood horror film. Let me just remind you of the really gruesome bits. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if you had a great millstone hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, strangely, cut it off, and you would fall over. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Can you imagine doing any of that? Pretty gruesome, isn't it? So, do you think Jesus was advocating self-maiming as a way of avoiding sin? I would say emphatically not. So what was Jesus really saying? Well, 2 things jump out from this immediately. Firstly, Jesus was pointing out how really deeply, deeply and seriously he viewed sin. And secondly, Jesus was saying that sin is so serious that it literally blocks the way to eternal life like a great wall. Now, you may have guessed from that this morning we're going to briefly take a look at sin and the great wall of sin and what Jesus did and does about it. But firstly, we need to clear up something. There are things that we do that God hates, such as stealing or jealousy or harming or hating another person. These, you could say, are individual sins. But then there is the general state of sin that we as human beings are all in. And briefly for now, we know that we are in this state of sin because we all die. So there are sins, and there is the state of sin that we are all in. Both are very serious. Both add bricks to the great wall that separates us from God. And both were dealt with and are dealt with by Jesus. So, we're going to go back now to the first bricks and the laying of them in the great wall of sin. And we had that read to us from chapter 3 of Genesis earlier. And I really love the early chapters of Genesis. As a theologian, they are overwhelmingly exciting to me. Can't describe how passionate I am about them. And Genesis in general. But written down, chapter 3, at least 5,000 years ago in cuneiform. How do I know all this? Well, I'm not going to tell you, but if you want to know, 20 minutes, half an hour, I should do it at the back later. Okay. But it's really key stuff in the Old Testament. And in Genesis 3, we find ourselves transported, as it were, to God's huge fruit tree orchard, because that's what it was. And it was known as Eden. And this is where Adam and Eve live. And it's where the snake, Satan, literally as slippery and cunning as a snake, challenges Eve. And despite being no more than a created being, Satan has the audacity to question what God has said. Did God say that you should not do this? Did he really say that? Let me just plant this in your mind. Did God say? Eve is very clear with her answer, isn't she? Repeats what God has instructed. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the tree, the fruit tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. Touching it, you shall die. Satan then makes his big ploy, and he infers that God has lied. You will not die. You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. A snaky and slippery and cunning half-truth from Satan, who is the absolute expert when it comes to not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So whatever the fruit of the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil was, can I just point out to you that it was not an apple, as so often depicted in the media. Adam and Eve did not scrump apples from God's tree in the garden and then have their whole lives changed for the whole of eternity. But whatever this was, it was so incredibly desirable, it was almost irresistible. And Eve took it and ate the fruit. And having then been forever changed by eating, she encouraged Adam to do the same. And he too was forever changed. And the significance of this narrative is that up to this point, Adam and Eve had lived in God's special creation. This was an area that God had put on earth, this place called Eden, somewhere in Mesopotamia, probably by the river Tigris and the Euphrates, we're told, and two rivers that we couldn't find anymore, they've disappeared. But this was a special place. They'd not wanted for anything. They had also enjoyed God's presence daily. And you could say it was almost heavenly, the life that they lived, because of God's grace and God's presence, it was also without death. But all this was forever changed by disobedience of Adam and Eve. So much so that before God took any action, Adam and Eve hid themselves from him. Already the dividing wall between God and humanity, because of the disobedience to God's command, that wall had started to be built. The foundations had been well laid. The concrete had gone in. And just like the Great Wall of China can be seen from space, the Great Wall of Sin can be seen from eternity. The disobedience of Adam and Eve led to further consequences. They were removed from God's special garden, God's special place on earth, Eden. God was no longer directly accessible to humanity. He was now much more remote, you could say. And despite the claim of Satan that Adam and Eve would not die, death had now become part of human life. In other words, cut off from God and away from God's presence, humanity was now in a state of sin and death. And the great wall of sin between God and humanity was now a complete and insurmountable barrier for humanity. Humanity could no longer reach God and could no longer reach life. And as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5, death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. So is there any wonder that Jesus saw sin as such a deeply, deeply serious issue that he would suggest that you might cut off your foot to avoid it? Because it brings death. And while the Great Wall of Sin was an insurmountable barrier for humanity, nothing is too hard or impossible for God. That's what God said to Abraham and Sarah when Sarah became pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God. And that's what the angel Gabriel said to Mary when she became pregnant with Jesus. Nothing is impossible for God. And Jesus came into his own creation because sin was so serious that only his death and his resurrection could dismantle the great wall of sin that stands between God and all humanity, or stood. Because as Jesus hung on the cross, he took upon himself the weight of the sin of the world, past, present, and future. And when he rose from the dead, he destroyed the power of death and sin, that power that had been wielded since the days of Adam and Eve. So Jesus has dismantled the great dividing wall between us and God. The wall that Adam and Eve laid the foundation stones for so long ago. Just like that wall that separated Berlin came tumbling down when we least expected it. So the great wall of sin came tumbling down when people least expected it, when Jesus died and rose from the dead. So on offer now from Jesus, now is freedom from the state of sin that we are all in, and so freedom from death. And we can have God's daily presence restored in us, and the promise of eternal life. We can be filled with God through his Holy Spirit. But what is really outstanding about what Jesus has done, as the Apostle Paul puts it, it is a free gift of righteousness given in the abundance of God's grace. In other words, freedom from sin and eternal life are free gifts from God, absolutely free. And we don't deserve them. Jesus said to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus is saying that if you have him in your life, when you die, you will move directly into the presence of God. That's what he's saying. And if you have Jesus in your life, you have already moved from death to life and into the presence of God. You don't need to wait until you physically die. You can have life in Jesus now. The life that only Jesus can give. You can already have eternal life while you are physically alive. You will not suffer the sort of death that sin brings. That's what Jesus says. Jesus has demolished the great wall of sin and death. Death from sin is no longer something anyone has to accept. It's like an illness that can always be cured. Death from sin. You do not have to accept it anymore. Because Jesus has done something about it. So, what about you and me? Are you deeply, deeply bothered about the seriousness of sin in your life? And do you want eternal life now? Then now is the time to ask, isn't it? If you want it now, well, get on with it and ask. Ask Jesus for his new life in you. God's free gift of eternal life is for you. But what if you've already asked Jesus into your life? How bothered are you about the seriousness of sin that you may have allowed still to linger? That you may have allowed to creep back in to your life? Why not ask Jesus, like we did in the confession this morning, to cleanse you of it and to make you more like him? Why not ask him to empower you with his Holy Spirit to help you to follow him more truly? Why not? So we'll do that now. And then if you want to do it, you can do it, can't you? Yes, Chris, is the answer. Okay, let's pray, because it's time to pray. And if you want to say to Jesus now, "I want you in my life," then let's do it. "Lord Jesus, come into my life." That's what you have to say. So say it in your heart now. "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me and restore me. Renew me. Give me new birth in you." Amen. And Lord Jesus, we are filled with sin. We are filled because we allow sin in our lives. Cleanse us of it. Go into the rooms of our lives where the lights are switched off and let your light spread. Remove the darkness from our lives and cleanse us from within and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.